once again, this is Dr. Phil Fernandez, the founder of the Institute of Biblical Defense and the academic dean of Firestone Theological Seminary. Today's lecture is Eschatology Lecture Number 5, Lecture Number 5 on the End Times, and today we're going to be discussing the end time judgments. The end time judgments, more specifically, the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowls of God's wrath found in the book of Revelation. Let's take a look at the seven seals. Look at Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 to 2. Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 to 2. Now we need to keep in mind as we study the seal, trumpet, and bowl judgments that I do not hold the view that they follow consecutively one after another. We're going to be looking at the fact that the seventh seal comes after obviously the sixth seal, and the sixth seal has the sun and moon dark, and the stars fall from the sky. The exact occurrences, which according to Jesus Christ in Matthew 24:29-31, those exact occurrences immediately follow the tribulation period. So that will put the seventh seal after the tribulation period. Yet the seventh seal, you have lightning, thunder, and an earthquake, which you also have in the seventh trumpet. Lightning, thunder, and earthquake, and also a hailstorm. But in that seventh trumpet, that's when Jesus Christ takes over the earth, which obviously is after the tribulation period. In the seventh bowl of God's wrath, you also have the earthquake, lightning, and thunder, and hailstones, and so that must be after the tribulation period. So I see the seventh seal, seventh trumpet, and seventh bowl all ending at the same time. So that each one of the seal, trumpet, and bowl judgments, as I mentioned earlier, I believe the whole book of Revelation is talking about only the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. I see the seven seal, seven trumpet, and seven bowl judgments all starting, like the seventh seal that probably starts halfway through the tribulation period and then goes to the end. The seven trumpets goes back somewhere in the last half of the tribulation period and then goes to the end. And then the seven bowls, that just covers, I believe, Christ's return to the planet Earth as they come one after another. But each one of them ends in the second coming of Christ, and each one of them overlaps at least to a small degree. And so let's take a look at the seven seals. Look at Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 to 2. And I saw when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice of thunder, come. And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. And so you have in the first seal a rider on a white horse going out conquering and to conquer. And so you have the idea of a conquering king. So the first seal is a conquering king. Now later on we're going to find that in Revelation chapter 19, that Jesus Christ returns to earth riding a white horse. He returns amidst the clouds riding a white horse. So the question comes up, is this Jesus Christ or is this an impersonation of him? Is this Jesus Christ or is this someone trying to act or imitate Jesus Christ? And I think what it is it's an imitation of him. It's the Antichrist coming and conquering and becoming more and more powerful until Revelation 13 states that he'll rule the world for the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. So the first seal, I would interpret this as being the Antichrist coming to power, a conquering king. Look at Revelation chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, the second seal. And when he broke the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come." And another, a red horse, went out, and to him who sat on it, it was granted to take peace from the earth, and that men should slay one another, and a great sword was given to him. And so this talks about a rider on a red horse who takes peace from the earth. And then it states there, he takes peace from the earth, that men should slay one another, and a great sword was given to them. This is talking about global war. Peace is taken from the earth. You have global war. If this is what is coming up, if we're living in the last days, this will be World War III. But global war is what is spoken of here in Revelation chapter 6, verses 3 to 4. Look at Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, the third seal. And when he broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard, as it were, a voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." What you have here, a denarius is a day's wages. And so what you have here is that just to get enough food to live on, you need to work for an entire day. And so wheat and 3 quarts of barley, that's just something for the common man. That's food for the common man. It takes a whole day's wages just to eat that. Yet the oil and the wine, something that only rich people would have, isn't even affected. And so you have famine and inflation. The rich people are still living comfortably, but the rest of mankind, common man, is starving to death. And inflation is so high, it takes a whole day's worth of wages just to eat enough food to get you through the day. And let's take a look at the fourth seal, which is referred to as the fourth horseman of the apocalypse. Revelation chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. And when he broke the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come." And I looked, and behold, an ashen horse, and he who sat on it had the name Death, and Hades was following with him. And authority was given to them over a fourth of the earth, to kill with the sword and with famine and with pestilence and by the wild beast of the earth. And so what you have here in this fourth seal, you have a pale horse and Death and Hades riding upon it. And then you have famine, pestilence, and wild beast, and the sword. In short, pretty much the first three seals plus the fourth seal together, you have death to one-fourth of mankind. Now, this is very interesting. The fourth seal, you have death to one-fourth of mankind. Let's say there were 100 people on earth. Obviously, there's many more people than that. But let's say there's only 100 people on earth. If one-fourth of them died, that would be 25 removed. So you go from 100 down to 75. Well, then when you come up with the sixth trumpet, what you have there is one-third of mankind is killed. One-third of mankind is killed there. And so if you have one-fourth killed plus one-third killed, how many people does that come out to? Well, if you've got 100 people and first one-fourth die, that leaves you with 75. And then if you have one-third more die, that takes off another 25 and leaves you with 50. And so you'd only have 50 out of 100 people left, meaning that during the tribulation period, One out of every two people are going to die, not counting martyrs. It's very important. One out of every two people during the tribulation period is going to die, not counting martyrs. Now, before we get any further, I should have done this earlier, but we'll cover the four seals. In Revelation 5, what happens there is there's a scroll with seven seals on it, and there's writing on it. And apparently this scroll represents the title deed to the planet Earth. Remember, God gave man dominion over the earth in the garden, but then man, it was stolen from man by Satan in the garden. Well, now someone has to redeem or buy back the planet Earth. Jesus Christ not only bought back, redeemed us from the slave market to sin, but he also is going to return to redeem the planet Earth. So here's the title deed to the planet Earth. The Jews, if you went into debt, somebody could confiscate your property. They would write down everything on a scroll, everything that you own that was confiscated. They would roll the scroll up, and on the outside of the scroll, they would write down what would need to be redeemed, what it would need to redeem the land, to buy it back, and then they would seal it seven times. And so this is the illustration that is given here. Now John begins to weep because he looks and there was no one in, this is Revelation chapter 5 verse 3, and no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the book or the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. So John sees that there was nobody who's worthy to redeem the planet Earth and to remove the seals. In order to remove the seals, you've got to be able to pay the price to redeem the land, to buy back the land. But then verse 5, and one of the elders said to me, stop weeping, behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals. And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. And he came and he took out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now, a little later, they state this, verse 9, and they sang a new song, saying, worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seals, for thou wast slain, and didst purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And thou hast made them to be a kingdom and priest to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. And so what you have leading into the seals is your introduction. This is stating how Jesus Christ, as he removes each seal, you have kind of judgments falling upon the earth at the same time Jesus Christ is in the process. It's the all literally on earth, all hell is breaking loose, and Jesus Christ is about to come back and redeem the planet Earth. He's worthy to do so. He's worthy to take it back by the fact that he is the perfect Lamb of God who shed his blood for the sins of mankind. And so with the seven seals, Jesus Christ is getting ready to reclaim the planet Earth. We said the first seal was the Antichrist coming to power, a conquering king. The second seal is global war, possibly World War III. The third seal is famine and inflation. And the fourth seal is death to one-fourth of mankind through famine, war, and disease, and even wild beasts, attacks by wild beasts. Then look at the fifth seal, Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. The fifth seal. And when he broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, wilt thou refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And there was given to them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest for a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, should be completed also. And so here, you have the fifth seal, martyrdom. Those who are martyred for the faith, and they ask God, basically, how long are you going to wait until you bring vengeance upon those who slaughtered us? And so you have martyrdom during the tribulation period. This is why I stated that you've got 1/4 of mankind, later on 1/3 of mankind killed, which means 1 out of every 2 people on earth will be killed. And then you have martyrs besides that. Plus you're also going to have some people dying of natural means during that time. So you have more than 1 out of every 2 people on the planet Earth dying during the tribulation period. Let's look at the sixth seal. Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 to 17. And I looked when he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood. And the stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. And the sky was split apart like a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the commanders, and the rich, and the strong, and every slave and free man, hid himself in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? And so you have the sun and moon darken, the stars falling from the sky, which is exactly what Jesus Christ said in Matthew 24, verse 29, would come immediately after the tribulation period, but immediately before his return to the planet Earth. So this is occurring after the tribulation period. Now when Hal Lindsey and the pre-tribbers put this somewhere early in the tribulation period, I don't understand what they're doing. Let the scripture interpret the scriptures. This occurs after the tribulation period. And what's the response of the kings of the earth, right down to the poor man? The response is that they run, and they hide themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, and they call for the rocks to fall upon them and hide them from the presence of Christ and from his wrath. The day of God's wrath has come. Again, the wrath of God, I believe, comes after the tribulation period. That's what believers are promised protection from, not the tribulation period itself. And so we have the sixth seal, the sun and moon darkened, and the stars falling from the sky, which Jesus Christ places immediately after the tribulation period of that time. Now, Revelation 7, you've got a parenthesis, a little break in the action where it talks about the 144,000 Jews who are sealed for the day of redemption. But the seventh seal shows up in Revelation chapter 8, verses 1 to 5. And when he broke the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. So you have an introduction to the seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, and he filled it with the fire of the altar and threw it to the earth. And there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. And so you have, in the seventh seal, you have a half hour of silence in heaven. You have an introduction of the seven trumpets, and you have lightning, thunder, and an earthquake. Remember, the seventh seal comes after the sixth seal, which comes after the tribulation period. But it also has lightning, thunder, and an earthquake, which is also found in the seventh trumpet, which is the return of Christ to the planet Earth, and it's also found in the seventh bowl of God's wrath, of lightning, thunder, and an earthquake. So that's the seven seals. Number one, the Antichrist comes to power. Number two, global war. Number three, famine and inflation. Number four, death to 1/4 of mankind. Number five, martyrdom. Number six, the sun and moon darken and the stars falling from the sky. And number seven, the half hour of silence in heaven and lightning and thunder and an earthquake. Now let's take a look at the seven trumpets, starting in Revelation 8, verse 7. And again, I don't believe there's a direct chronological order. I think there's an overlapping here, otherwise the seventh of each would not be equal to each other, plus the sixth seal would not be able to be synonymous with what Christ referred to as occurring immediately after the tribulation period of those days. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 7. In fact, take a look at verse 6 first. And the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepare themselves to sound them. Now see, this is showing the order. The order that it was revealed to John, yes, the seven trumpets come after the seven seals and the seven bowls come after the seven trumpets. But just because it was revealed to John in that order does not mean that they occur in that order, that they will occur in that order in the future. In fact, it becomes impossible. We already mentioned the sixth seal has to come after the tribulation period. The seventh trumpet is when Christ returns. That's after the tribulation period, but that's equal with the seventh bowl and the seventh seal. Also, you've got 1/3 of the sun, moon, and stars are darkened in the fourth trumpet, yet you've got the sun and moon completely darkened and the stars falling from the sky in the sixth trumpet. Now, if the fourth trumpet comes after the sixth trumpet, which is what pre-tribbers say, how can you have 1/3 of the sun and moon and stars darkened after they've been completely darkened in the sixth trumpet, which is supposed to have come before? And so there's a lot of inconsistencies with that view. Yes, this was the order they were revealed to John. At the same time, we need to interpret scripture by scriptures, and we see very clearly that they overlap. They do not follow one right after the other. Okay, Revelation 8, verse 7, and the first sounded, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and 1/3 of the earth was burnt up, and 1/3 of the trees were burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. So you have 1/3 of the earth, trees, and grass burnt up. Now, you've got hail and fire mixed with blood. Coming, being thrown down to the earth. Is this literally coming from the throne of God? Or is this some type of modern warfare that John described in symbolic terminology, because he knew no 20th century terminology? In other words, is this talking about something occurring, some strange cosmic occurrences, or is it talking about nuclear exchanges or modern warfare? We don't know. We can't be for sure. What I will say is, if one out of every two people on the planet Earth dies, in fact, even more than that, there's a very good chance that there's going to be nuclear exchanges. Very good chance, especially with the contamination that is talked about here. But you have 1/3 of the earth, the trees, and the grass burnt up. Second seal, look at Revelation 8, verses 8 and 9. And the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain, burning with fire, was thrown into the sea, and 1/3 of the sea became blood. And 1/3 of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and 1/3 of the ships were destroyed. So you have 1/3 of sea life and ships destroyed. Now, what this great mountain burning with fire is, you know, some speculate that maybe it's a meteorite, or in fact others, some think that it's the third angel is the meteorite coming to earth, and the second one is something else. We don't know for sure, but something like a great mountain burning with fire thrown into the sea, and you have 1/3 of sea life and 1/3 of the ships destroyed. I don't want to speculate too much on what this could be. We could talk all day what this could possibly be, let's just stick pretty much to what the scripture says, throw in a little bit of speculation, but leave it as an open question, rather than assuming that we've got all the answers right now. The third trumpet, Revelation chapter 8, verses 10 to 11. Revelation chapter 8, verses 10 to 11. And the third angel sounded, and a great trumpet fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the waters because they were made bitter. And so you have one third of the rivers and springs become contaminated. Again, this is another one where some scholars speculated that this star falling down, burning like a torch, might be a meteorite. Others think that it might be some type of nuclear exchange. Wormwood, if I remember correctly, I was told, I never did get a chance to verify it, that Chernobyl, the word for Chernobyl, and of course there was the nuclear accident and contamination there, but the word for Chernobyl in Russian is supposed to be translated as wormwood. I don't know, that could be totally bogus for all I know. I've never had it verified, so I have no idea, but that was the rumor that was going around. If that is the case, it might imply some type of nuclear accident or something along those lines. But whatever the case, you have one third of rivers and springs contaminated in the third seal. Then in the fourth seal, Revelation 8:12, these are actually trumpets. I hope I wasn't saying it from the start. The first trumpet, one third of the earth, the trees and grass burnt up. Second trumpet, one third of sea life and ships destroyed. The third trumpet, one third of rivers and springs become contaminated. Now we're on the fourth trumpet. And the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun and a third of the moon and a third of the stars were smitten, so that a third of them might be darkened, and the day might not shine for a third of it, and the night in the same way. And so in verse 12 there you have the fourth trumpet, one third of the sun, moon, and stars darkened, which obviously cannot come after the sun and moon have totally been darkened and the stars fall from the sky, which is Revelation 6, verses 12 to 17, the sixth seal, which occurs immediately after the tribulation period. So we see that these overlap, do not follow in chronological order. I would say yes, the seventh trumpet comes after the sixth trumpet, but I would not say that the trumpets follow the seals, nor do the bowls have to follow in any specific order at that point. Although I do see the seven bowls coming simultaneously with the return of Christ. Okay, so what you have there are the first four trumpets. And then verse 13 reads, "And I looked, and I heard an eagle flying in mid-heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpet and of the three angels who are about to sound." So you've got three trumpets left. Now Revelation verses chapter 9, verses 1 to 12, you have the fifth trumpet. Fifth trumpet in Revelation 9, verses 1 to 12. "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven, which had fallen to the earth, and the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went up out of the pit, like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. And out of the smoke came forth locusts upon the earth, and power was given them, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And they were told that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not permitted to kill anyone, but to torment for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days men will seek death and will not find it. And they will long to die, and death flees from them. And the appearance of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. And they had hair like the hair of woman, and their teeth were like the teeth of lions." and they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots of many horses rushing to battle. And they have tails like scorpions and stings, and in their tails is their power to hurt men for 5 months. And they have as king over them the angel of the abyss, and his name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in the Greek he has a name Apollyon. Both names, by the way, mean destruction or destroyer. The first woe was past. Behold, two woes are still coming after these things. And so here you have the fifth trumpet. This, I believe, is literally demons from the abyss. We find, as we study the scriptures, that only demons are chained up in the abyss. You find that Lucifer, when he incarnates the Antichrist, once Christ returns, he'll chain him up, chain up Lucifer in the abyss, the bottomless pit, for 1,000 years. We also find from a passage in Jude and a passage in, I don't recall if it's 1st or 2nd Peter, but one of Peter's epistles, it seems to be talking about the sons of God, the angels of God that had fallen and had left their domain and somehow cohabited with the daughters of men and bore some type of offspring from them in Genesis chapter 6. Apparently both Jude and Peter say that they have been chained up in the abyss waiting for the day of judgment. Well, apparently right before the judgment comes, they're released for a 5-month period where they inflict men with non-believers with horrible pain. So this fifth trumpet appears to be demons released from the abyss. Also, the king that is over them, it says they have a king over them, the angel of the abyss. His name is Abaddon, and his Greek, his name is Apollyon. Most scholars see this as just different names of Lucifer. I think it's possible, but I think it's probably Lucifer's right-hand demon, who was one of the sons of God, who cohabited with the daughters of men in Genesis 6, and because of it, he's the leader of the angels in the abyss. Whereas Lucifer is not yet in the abyss. He won't be in the abyss until Christ returns. And so there you have the fifth trumpet, demons released from the abyss. Let's take a look at the sixth trumpet, Revelation 9, verses 13 to 21. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, one saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." And the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released, so that they might kill a third of mankind. And the number of the armies of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And this is how I saw in the vision the horses and those who sat on them. The riders had breastplates the color of fire and hyacinth and of brimstone, and the heads of the horses are like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths proceed fire and smoke and brimstone. A third of mankind was killed by these three plagues, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which proceeded out of their mouths. For the power of the horses is in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents and have heads, and with them they do harm. And the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, so as not to worship demons and the idols of gold and of silver and of brass and of stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their immorality, nor other thefts. And so what you have here is an army of 200 million horsemen kill one-third of mankind with fire, smoke, and brimstone. Now, the Euphrates River divides the east and the kings of the east, which we're going to see later on in the Battle of Armageddon in Revelation 16, and I believe this is talking about the sixth bowl and the sixth trumpet, I believe, are one and the same thing. But the kings of the East would probably be China, India, and their allies. But you have an armed force here, a military of 200 million men. And John was shocked. He said, hey, I heard the number of it myself. 200 million men. There wasn't even 200 million people on the planet Earth when John wrote this. Yet today, China and India have so many people. They have so many people at this time that it's very possible that we're talking about their military forces combined with whatever other kings of the East would be. You have 200 million troops, probably the kings of the East. That's why the Euphrates River is dried up to make way for them. It's also been reported that a major dam has been built in the Euphrates River so that China, if the Soviet Union was to invade the Middle East, China would see that as a threat to the security of the world. And then China can boldly march her troops through the Euphrates River and on in for what would be the Battle of Armageddon. Today, China's population is one-fifth of the world's population. They have 1 billion people. 1 billion people. India's population is one-sixth of the world's population. They have 800 million people. Together, China plus India combined, they have over one-third of the world's population. Now, very shortly, there's going to be 2 billion people just in China and India alone when you combine the two, you know, making up over one-third of the world's population. So that if you just had one out of every 10 people were placed into their military because of the importance of the battle, like the Battle of Armageddon, you would have enough troops to have the 200 million troops that the Apostle John wrote about at this point. And so I believe this is the start of the Battle of Armageddon at this point, which is also found in the sixth bowl. So that's the sixth trumpet. 200 million horsemen kill one-third of mankind with fires, smoke, and brimstone. By the way, some people see here a description of tanks. John, of course, would have had difficulty describing tanks, but when he talks about the horses, the riders had breastplates the color of fire and hyacinth and of brimstone, and the heads of horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths proceed fire and smoke and brimstone. A lot of people see this as a description of tanks, and I'm not sure if I agree with that, but it is possible. And then you have the seventh trumpet in Revelation 11, verses 15 to 19. The seventh trumpet. And the seventh angel sounded. In fact, look at verse 14. The second woe was past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. And verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there arose loud voices in heaven, saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks, O Lord God, the Almighty, who art and who wast, because thou hast taken thy great power and hast begun to reign. And the nations were enraged, and thy wrath came. Again, God's wrath coming after the tribulation period. And the time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to give the reward to thy bondservants and the prophets, and to the saints and to those who fear thy name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. It's obviously the second coming of Christ. And the temple of God which is in heaven was opened, and the ark of his covenant appeared to his temple, and there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder and an earthquake and a great hailstorm. So you got lightning, thunder, earthquake, and a hailstorm, the same as in the seventh bowl, and also the same as in the seventh seal, except they don't mention the hailstorm there, but they mention the lightning, thunder, and earthquake. And you have Christ taking over the kingdoms of the world. The seventh trumpet, which I believe is also the last trumpet of 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul says, that is when believers will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet. So that's the seven trumpets. And now the seven bowls of God's wrath. Look at Revelation 16. The seven bowls of God's wrath. I believe these occur very rapidly at Christ, while Christ is about to descend and return to the planet Earth. Revelation chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. And I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the seven bowls of the wrath of God into the earth. And the first angel went and poured out his bowl into the earth, and it became a loathsome and malignant sore upon the men who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his image. So loathsome and malignant sores upon those who have the mark of the beast. That's the first bowl. The second bowl, we have everything in the sea dying, Revelation 6:3. And the second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became blood like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. So you had one-third of sea life dying in the second trumpet. Now everything in the sea dies in the seventh bowl. Verses 4 to 7, you have the third bowl of God's wrath. And the third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the water saying, righteous art thou who art and who was, O Holy One, because thou dost judge these things. For they poured out the blood of the saints and prophets, for thou hast given them blood to drink, they deserve it. And I heard the altar saying, yes, O Lord, the Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And so what you have there is the rivers and springs become blood. The fourth bowl, verses 8 and 9, and the fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to it to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has the power over these plagues, and they did not repent so as to give him glory. And so the sun scorches men with its heat, the fourth bowl. The fifth bowl, verses 10 and 11, and the fifth angel poured out his bowl upon the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened, and they gnawed their tongues because of pain. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. And so the beast's kingdom is filled with darkness and pain. The sixth bowl, verses 12 to 16, and the sixth angel poured out his bowl upon the great river, the Euphrates, and its water was dried up. That's what I was talking about, that dam. That the way might be prepared for the kings from the east. I believe it's going to be supernaturally dried up as well, beyond any human-made dam. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs. For they are spirits of demons, performing signs which go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them together for the war of the great day of God the Almighty. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his garments, lest he walk about naked and men see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place which in Hebrew is called Armageddon. And so the battle of the Armageddon, the kings of the east invade the Middle East during the battle of Armageddon. And then finally we have in verses 17 and 18 the seventh bowl of God's wrath. The seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne, saying, it is done. And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder, and there was a great earthquake, same as mentioned in the seventh seal and the seventh trumpet. Such as there had not been since man came to be upon the earth, so great an earthquake was it and so mighty. And the great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And huge hailstones, about 100 pounds each, we're talking about bigger than cinder blocks falling from the sky, came down from heaven upon men, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, because this plague was extremely severe. And so the final bowl of God's wrath, widespread destruction, a great earthquake, islands and mountains flee, and 100-pound hailstones, and lightning and thunder. And so here we have the seven seal judgments, the seven trumpet judgments, and the seven bowls of God's wrath, the end time judgments. Thank you, and God bless you.